chapter 12. Verses 12, we'll start in verse 12. So John chapter 12, it's page 524. If you're following along in one of the Bibles, provided for you. Just catch you all up with the what's happening kind of universally in the church. It's Palm Sunday. It's the introduction of what we call Holy Week leading up to Easter. And the story begins for Holy Week on with this story, triumphal entry is what they call it. And John chapter 12 is one of the places, it's the place we're going to be looking at today. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then he remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. The crowd had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See that you're gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after you." Continue. Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is the Son of Man?" So Jesus said to them, "The light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of God." It's the word of God. Thanks be to God for that. It's a lot. But we consider the triumphal entry of Christ. This is the whole scene. The question we'll begin with today is, where is God? Have you ever asked that question? God, where are you right now? Where are you? Because I'm failing. Or we're still sick. Or we are still broke. Where are you? The divorce is continuing. Where are you? Tragedy in our culture. Where are you? Have you ever asked that question? God, where are you? I have. The triumphal entry, Palm Sunday, is important because God answers the question by saying, "I'm not hiding from you. I'm not hiding. I'm not telling you everything about me, but I am coming to you to show you some things. I'm not hiding. Here is my son. Now, Jesus is already wanted. People hate him. People love him. He doesn't have to come into Jerusalem like this. He can sneak in there. He's done it. In fact, two previous years, they're like, Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem. He's like, we're going to go. And he slips away because his hour had not come, because it's his schedule. People wanted to hurt him then, but he's like, he gets away. But now it's time. I'm going into the city. Everybody's going to know. I'm not hiding from you. This is where God is going to work. And so because all the people of God are coming to Jerusalem, see, they've been dispersed, right? It's the history of God's people. They've been conquered. They've been taken away. Made slaves. God has brought them back, kind of. And some people stayed. So at these festivals, they still remember the greatest story in the history of Israel, which is the Exodus, where God delivered them from slavery, where God protected them and provided for them and brought them out. So they still celebrate that, and they come from all over. The fact that they're coming from all over is a testimony that they've lost. God, where were you? They're coming there to celebrate a Savior. God saved us, and we're looking forward to a new Savior. So, when someone says, hey, this guy Jesus is coming into town. Oh, yeah, we've heard of him. Cool. Yeah, well, he's with a guy named Lazarus. Lazarus was raised from the dead. See, at the time, there's other people doing miracles. History records there are people who could do some miracles, whether they were real or not, doesn't matter. There were other people doing that kind of thing. But the one thing no one can do is raise somebody. So that's worth seeing. When you're all there to celebrate salvation and deliverance, and you hear someone can raise someone from the dead, they all go out. What else? There's no Netflix. Let's do it. So they all go out to see Jesus, and it says in John's account that Lazarus and his family are bearing witness. Jesus raised him from the dead. He was dead 4 days. Stinking. Got raised in us. They usually don't work that way. King James jokes. Come see the guy who can raise you from the dead. So we come out, and there's Jesus fulfilling the prophecy of a king coming into the city that God created. Jerusalem is God's city where he puts his eyes and his ears and his name. He's promised that. Here comes the king that has been promised, the Savior of the world, and of course he comes in on a donkey, because he's a king of peace. Most kings will come in with a sword, and if they're coming in with a sword, they're going to take your city over. Or they've already conquered all the other surrounding kingdom, and you know we've lost. So then he can come in on a donkey, going, hey, you can just serve me, or you know what? Everybody's so excited because he can create bread out of nothing, fish out of nothing, wine out of water. He can heal us. He can raise you from the dead. So whatever the Romans do to us, we're like this apocalyptic army of people that will never die. They can kill us. We're zombies. But all these expectations on Jesus and the kind of king he's going to be. We like you, Jesus. So they say, Hosanna, which means save us. Save us. Hosanna, they lay down the red carpet, all the palm fronds. Palm Sunday, the king has come. We're so excited for him. And this is where God is. Here, I found God. The answer to all my problems is this guy who raises people from the dead. Surely he'll solve my problems. Let's go to him. So why, then, that's true. Why do we still have a hard time knowing where God is? Are you God? I just want to know what to do. Why did this audience have a hard time knowing where God was? Where are you, God? I just want to know what to do. How do I fix this? Here's why. He's king. He can solve all your problems. But when we go to him, it's hard to hear him because we do not like what he's saying. We just don't like it. For instance, my wife, very good with finances. She's good with numbers. She's good with discipline. She's how you manage money. Just take this. Right? So we've had several people. She'll help several people. Many of you help you just do a budget, figure out a plan, how to keep it. It's very helpful. There was once a person we knew said, "I like how you manage money. Show me how you do it." Okay, we'll set up a meeting. So I met with this person several times. And over the course of those meetings, it was like, you know, you can't spend more money than you make. That's just too hard. I can't do that. And you might have to cut things out of your lifestyle, maybe things you enjoy. For right now, you just don't do those things until you save money, pay off your debts. You know, these are simple things, but they're profound things. Well, after a couple meetings, our friends stopped meeting. That person's not here, so I'll look around. Person stopped meeting with Val, said, "I'm fine, I'm good, how you doing, great? We're not going to talk about the financial meetings, whatever, glad you're good." A couple weeks go by, this person rolls up in a new Hummer. "I like how you live, Val. I like what you said, but I just feel like God's leading me to a new Hummer right now." Cool. Jesus says, "I am the King." He walks in, people come to him. "I want what you have. Will you erase my debt? Will you heal my sickness? Will you raise the dead in my life? Give me hope." And Jesus says, quote, to quote Jesus, let's go to verse 23. The Greeks come to him and say, "Hey, you want to know?" He says, "Okay, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus is being nice right now. If you're asking the question, you go, "Wait, what does grain and dying have to do with you helping me out of this mess? Painful mess. Understand what you're saying." And then Jesus says, "I know. Here's verse 2. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, and there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Where are you, God? I'm right here. Hate this life? Die, follow, serve? That sounds like suffering. I thought you were going to solve my problem, and now you're inviting me into suffering. I don't think this is where God is. Because my version of God helps me to escape all that. God's version says, "We are walking through this problem." Don't like you. I look around this room. You can allow me to be honest, because I love you. But I know we're facing things that are hard. We want financial stability. We want a job to be easier. We want our relationships at home to go better. We want babies. We want healing. We want help. We actually have a lot of serious things that we want, and they're hurting us. We're confused because we're in a world that tries to say what God should be like. We say, "God should just help you escape all these things." Sorry, but He walks through them. He says, "What would it look like if you never get that thing?" This is where you and I, this is scary. What happens if marriage does fall? What happens if my child dies? I don't know what I'm going to do. This is where the glory of God shows up and says, "I'm right here." He says, "God of life, I will walk through it." Jesus is not the kind of king. kingdom. He says, I'm going to walk through death. And he just beat everybody. And why? And this plan actually shocks us. This plan, and the kind of king Jesus is, does three things to me. I'll just be honest. It shocks me. I'm very surprised by it because I thought this was going to be a lot easier. So I'm a little bit surprised. I don't like it. I'm also very scared. So what if I follow Jesus and do all these things? We die. What if I go broke? What if I enter into poverty? That scares me. What if I'm just a failure? I've been trying not to be a failure my whole life. What if I am? That's just it. What if? It's scary. The last thing I realize about myself when I'm looking for where God is that I'm really selfish. When I'm considering these things, I don't care about you. Just rescue me. So how do I follow God when I'm totally surprised and shocked and disappointed, really, at his plan? I'm scared and selfish. How am I supposed to follow God through this plan? How am I ever going to find God? I'm always going to be, where are you? Here's the good news. Jesus does it for you. Good news is Jesus knows that you're shocked by this plan. He knows. This is where we have to learn to let Jesus be Jesus. We take off our trying to be the Savior of our own world, the Savior of our own plans, the Savior of our own lives. We have to let Jesus be Jesus. Jesus is the glory of God. The cross for all the glory of God is located. All glory means that when you're in all your glory, it's when someone sees your work. You create something, and then you show it, or you're operating in that field, and everyone's like, wow, he's really good. You're a really good artist. You drew this. You made this. It's your glory. Jesus is what humanity was created to be. We were created to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love each other. And Jesus is the glory of God. The cross is the place where God announces his absolute love. The glory of God. This is why there's only three places in the New Testament where God speaks. Think for a second. At Jesus' baptism, God says, this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. At the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus meets Moses and Elijah, and God says, this is my son, listen to him. And then Jesus says, right here, in verse 27, it says, now is my soul troubled. But what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? For this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice comes from heaven saying, I have glorified it and I will glorify it. So the voice of God says three things, three different times. One, at Jesus' baptism, you're going to die. Mount of Transfiguration, you're going to resurrect all the people who have thought to be dead. And now, the glory of God is going to be manifested to the earth. Everyone's going to know my glory as God, that I love you in the cross. In the places no one looks. No one wants to meet God in a crib. You don't look for power. All your problems being solved in a baby in a manger. In our culture, babies are a problem to be eliminated. God's culture, that's where the Savior is. The cross, you're lost, Jesus. You're not someone to back me up or to help me. You've already lost. That's where the power of God is, the cross. Because we cannot glorify God. We are broken, we are in a condition of sinfulness. Where I am selfish, I'm scared. I'm surprised by everything. But Jesus shows up and says, God, will you glorify your name? And God says, I have and I will. So I will take away your shock. I know the price. Have you ever had a sticker shock? When you come to know Jesus, you think, now we'll be happy all the day, it's going to be great. And it will be forever and ever. Right now, it might not be so hard. Walk through that. I remember there was a time where, I don't know, last Christmas or something, we were at the mall. I wanted a leather jacket on a motorcycle. Oh, went into this place, try on these leather jackets. These are really great. Oh, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'm willing to spend $200, $300 saved up for Christmas for myself. This would be nice. So I have three of these. I whittled it down to three jackets. And my least favorite, I thought, let me just get engaged. How much is this one? The guy's like, you want me to ring it up for you? I'm like, well, how much? He's like, oh, this one's like $700. Oh. So how much is the one I like? Oh, that's like $1,200. I was like, cool. I need to talk to my wife about this. Sticker shock. I was like, there's no way I'm doing that for a leather jacket. Because I don't even know if I'll be fit enough to fit into it by this time next year. This is what you have to think about. Shocked by it. Jesus is not shocked by the value of dying for you. He knows what you're worth. So he submits to the plan. He says, I came here for this hour to die for you. It's not too much for me. And he's not scared. I'm scared. I'm scared of being rejected. I'm scared of failure. I'm scared of a lot of things. That keeps me from following Jesus. Jesus says, I know, Adam. I'm not scared for you. I'll walk right into being betrayed by my best friends. I'll walk right into being killed by people who I can beat up and destroy with one word of my mouth, but I won't. I'm not scared because I know God. And then he's not selfish. He'll be selfless. I can be selfless for you. It'll hurt me to love you, and I still love you. This is who Jesus is. This is the good news. That Jesus gets us. He can handle your fear, your selfishness, your surprise. He can handle it. And he's handling it for you. And I said, well, how? Here's how we do it. Lowry and I went to, my son and I went to a Orlando Magic game, the last Magic game of the regular season. Very excited, by the way. Make it into the playoffs. So, there were a lot of people around. My wife, we live close to the arena, so my wife drops us off. There was so much traffic, she just dropped us off in the middle of the road, went to the side of the road where there was construction. Cars everywhere. I said, wow, let's just go across right here. We had to cross four lanes of traffic, but traffic's all stopped. Barely moving, you know, a little bit once a light turns, a little bit of movement. Come on. So I step out. He's kind of with me. Gets to the second lane. And I feel, he's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? I go, come on. And then he grabs my hand. So in the third lane, I'm like, seems like my height now. Can we still hold hands? Why are we holding hands? Then I realize by the fourth lane, he doesn't know. He doesn't have the same experience. I'm scared. So what are we doing? You taught me never to do this, and now you're leading me through it. I, on the other hand, know how far the crosswalk is. It's actually more dangerous over here. These cars are going 2 miles an hour. I can hit the hood of their car and yell at them to walk through. I have these experiences. Because I've driven there. He doesn't. Jesus has all the experiences. He's gone there. He knows. He knows you're scared. So all he asks of us is just hold my hand. It's what you do when you're scared. It's what you do when you're with someone. Just hold my hand. That's the kind of thing. Hold my hand. Follow me this week. Jesus is going through hell this week. We celebrate that. On the Thursday, we celebrate washing our feet. Lord's Supper, Good Friday, the actual time of death, These are really bad things. These aren't, this is my goal. They look really bad. God made it good. No, these are awful things. God has to make good things. Follow him. Hold him to see. Next Sunday, celebrate the resurrection. God's not hiding. You don't have to hide. Father, thank you for your word today. I'm just so thankful that you have the patience and love for someone like me. So I rejoice. I hold your hand today. We all look to you and we hold your hand by simply calling out to all who call upon the name of the Lord to be assured that you love us, that you save us, and you are. Lord, we look to you. Our hearts go, I want that. So, Holy Spirit, would you apply to us now the truth of your creating of the faith in us to respond and say, we want it. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Jesus, thank you. Why don't we, one of the ways we can just say, Lord, I love you, is we confess. Jesus, you're my king. Let's stand together and say the unity of voices. I like it if you believe it. Most of you, I know you do. The Apostles' Creed, page B. Again, this is what all the saints have had to say as they walk through hard things with the expectation of God loves them. Let's stand for this. How we grab Jesus. What do you believe, Christian? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we respond to God's goodness to us, we part of giving. An opportunity to give, to support the Word of God on earth as it is in heaven. And it's a way for us to worship and say, Lord, you provide for us. Money doesn't provide for us. You provide for us. Money is one of the things for us. Besides health, opportunities, ability, family, you know, it's one of many things. So we say, thank you, Lord. Also, if you have prayer requests, I don't want to diminish the power we have to ask our Father to share our hearts. We do have a board in the back. We put your prayer request up there. At some point, we pray for it during the week. Pray for people. Don't ever stop praying. Whether you get you get it or not, it's not about us manipulating God to get something. It's about the opportunity to talk to the God of all creation who loves you. He'll figure out. Move into that's how we respond, and then God responds by saying, giving you my word, but also giving you this way of interacting. Come to my table. Know that you are part of family. You have access to the Father. You don't have to be perfect. You can still be sad and longing. No, it's okay. In fact, Jesus says, "He's not good." He's referring to the longing we have for things to be right. The longing, just a simple longing to be right. You're always going to have. Christ will come to you. Christ will satisfy you. Christ will, in his kingdom, to come, where he raises all of us. He'll give us the longings of our heart. So come to his table and let him assure you, I forgive you. I know you're scared. I know you're angry with me. Just hold my hand and trust me. So we eat the meal. Even the meal we don't understand. It's small. It's easy. Right? Just trust me. It's a small, simple sense. That's right. So the night that Jesus was betrayed, it's easy words to say. That he was betrayed. He was betrayed by people who loved him a lot more than we did. Now, he saw him. He was betrayed. He says, meal of celebration to Passover and changing. It's even a better celebration. I am the Lamb of God. Jesus says, this is my body broken for you. The same way he takes the cup of God's wrath, he says, this is my blood. Spilled for you, for forgiveness of sins you actually did. Not holding it against you. To me, I forgive you, and then I include you. We will walk through all of this stuff together to the light and the walk like only the God of life can be. As we come to the Lord's table, you have the freedom to search yourself and say, Lord, where am I in your belly? See, it's a great honor to be able to say, to confess your sins. It doesn't feel like that at first. We don't have to defend or justify us. God, I know. This is not my heart, mind, and spirit. Let him cleanse you. Ask for forgiveness. And then hear him say, you are forgiven. Father, we thank you for the death and resurrection of Christ. We thank you for the hope of resurrection for all of us. My prayer is that your Holy Spirit would cleanse us, remind us of our baptism, that you have cleansed us, taken off the robes of violence, clothed us in beautiful, perfect robes of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. Give us the faith to actually settle into the reality that you are forgiven. I am. Assure us and strengthen us today as your children. We love you. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the outer ring is wine. Grape juice. And, let's see. I think this is a little bit honest. So all we have is a promise. All right, receive God's blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace, now and forever.